I know Kevin is in panic mode right now, so we have to start our service. I'd like to welcome all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and those who are attending our service through YouTube, and the same blessings we are enjoying here will be given to you. And, you know, we have, you know, special announcements from the Next Generation Ministry.
This is Bob. Bob is volunteering at Hometown Nazareth Vacation Bible School.
Loaves and fishes, please.
Bob is really into his role at Nazareth.
Do you have change for a shekel?
That's because Bob knows he's making God's Word come alive for kids and adults. Be like Bob. Join our team at Hometown Nazareth.
Hillary?
Now, Bob may be taking his commitment a little too far, but it is admired and appreciated by the VBS director. If you would like to be part of this year's VBS, please register on the church website with the QR code or the link. There are also hard copies for registration outside P4, or just tell me. We are looking for shopkeepers and tribe or family leaders. We're even looking for a tax collector. Our dear Natalie thinks Mr. Buckler should be the tax collector. I don't know if the church treasurer should be collecting shekels from little kids.
I'd like to share with you some pictures from, you know, last Sunday event. As you know, we had a special time to come to understand the situations of the Ukraine defectors and immigrants in Michigan. So there was a special guest speaker, you know, from Traverse City area, and she shared important, you know, information about their lives, you know, last Sunday. And then United Women in Faith and our mission team, they raised $950 to support the immigrants, Ukrainian immigrants who are living in the Michigan, you know, last Sunday. So even though they're not here, let's give them a round of you know, applause for them. Yeah. Okay. Please stand and let us greet one another before we start. Let us pray together. Dear God, you are so wonderful God. We are here to give our lives to you, and also we are here to raise our voices for who you are and what you have done in our lives. God, please be with us with your Holy Spirit and accept our worship to you, Lord. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
good morning. Edison, do you want to come up? Or you... Bless your heart. So our story in Sunday school this morning was found in John chapter 21. So who's been fishing? Okay. Well, in this story, the disciples are fishing and Jesus is cooking breakfast. I think we have a slide of what that breakfast might have looked like. And if you ever get to go to Israel, lunch will look like that and dinner too. That's a St. Peter's fish in Israel, found in the Sea of Galilee, and in this country we would call it tilapia. The big ideas of this story, though, are that the disciples learn to follow Jesus' directions, to keep their eyes on him, to love him, serve him, and follow him. Let us pray.
Dear Jesus, we love you. Help us never take our eyes off you. Let us follow you and obey your directions. May we serve you and those you love. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to stand for our next song, There Is None Like You. This is a song that will be leading us in prayer, and it is a reminder that no matter where we go, no matter where we are, who we are with, that there is no one like God who will come and seek us out and wrap his arms around us when we need comfort.
No one else.
be seated as we pray together.
Please bow your head and join me in the prayer. Dear most gracious God, we praise and worship you as our Creator, Father, and Sustainer. This is because of who you are and what you have been doing in our lives. You have called us to be your family, where we can be continually transformed so that we can reflect your patient love for the people in our lives. God, forgive our insensitivity to what you are doing. Forgive our indiligence to participate in your work of mercy. Please help us to be constantly reshaped in your mighty and gracious hands. We humbly pray that we want to be the radiance of your goodness and mercy unwaveringly and unlimitedly. As we hear the news of global warming and natural disasters in the world and even in the United States, we repent of our unfaithfulness in preserving your creation. God, let us begin with what we can do to keep your creation as your stewards. Remember the cries and tears of those who were in war-torn countries, such as Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, and Myanmar, and many others. We pray for your healing and reconciliation of the nations. Allow their leaders to have fearful minds about who you are as the ultimate judge. God, thank you for what you have done in our church, Midland First. Help us to move forward and use us as agents of your kingdom on earth so that when people meet us, let them meet your grace and love. Heal and comfort our church families who lost their loved ones and who have been in sickness. Let them find your presence and faithfulness at this time. We prayed this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now we come to time of offering. Please take out our French pad and let us know you are here today with us. I really appreciate your continued support for our missions we have in our church. Please continually pray for your church and also participate in the missions we have in our church. And usher, please, you know, come forward.
Thank you, Lord, for all you.
Dear God, thank you so much for all the blessings we have in our lives. Thank you so much for all the relationships we have built up in our lives. Everything comes from you, Lord. God, as a token of our love for you, we give these offerings to you. At the same time, we give our lives to you. Use us and use these offerings only for your kingdom and glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, these write, "These are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and endurance. I know that your latest works are greater than the first, but I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and is teaching and beguiling my servants to engage in sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Beware, I'm throwing her on a bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I am throwing into great distress, unless they repent of her doings. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I'm the one who searches minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over nations to rule them with an iron scepter, as when clay pots are shattered. Even as I also received authority from my Father, to the one who conquers, I will also give the morning star. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we open our hearts towards you today. God, you are the one who can change us with your words. God, please speak to us. We will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In my last sermon, last Sunday, I shared with you that, you know, we have to base our lives, ministries, and missions on our confession who Jesus Christ is. Do you remember that? That was my last sermon. Which means our knowledge of Jesus Christ is a motivation for our lives, ministries, and missions. I'm not talking about our head knowledge. I'm talking about our heart knowledge. The knowledge of Jesus we have from our own experiences. The knowledge of Jesus from what he has done for us until now. Then, who is Jesus Christ to you? Think about the things Jesus Christ has done to you and for you in your lives. And also, how about your experiences? Your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in your lives. Our understanding, our knowledge, and our experiences of Jesus Christ define what we are trying to say, what we have in our heart, and also our actions. Think about your presence here today at the sanctuary to worship God, together with your church family. What is your motivation for coming to church every Sunday, even on a rainy day like today? Our faith in Jesus Christ defines who we are. As we continue our sermon series today, what Jesus thinks of his church, let us find who Jesus is from his letter to the church in Thyatira. And who is Jesus Christ? From the scripture we read today, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Do you know where these phrases are coming from? When Jesus Christ revealed himself to the church in Thyatira? Daniel chapter 3. This verse reminds us of the furnace in which Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into, and the heavenly Son of Man, who had eyes like flaming torches and feet like polished bronze, rescued them. Daniel chapter 3. So why Jesus Christ revealed himself using the words there from Daniel chapter 3 to the church of Thyatira? It is because, be faithful. If you are faithful to me, like Daniel's three friends, then you will receive the salvation as they did. Be faithful. Second Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." God is looking for faithful people all over the world. God is looking for faithful churches at all time, all the times. Why does God look for faithful people? It is because God himself is faithful to us. Let us read the following scriptures together on the screen. Revelation 2, 19 through 20. "I know your works, your love, faith, service, and endurance. I know that your latest works are greater than the first, but I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and is teaching and beguiling my servants to engage in sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols." Jesus knows the church's love, faith, service, and endurance. He knows their works from beginning to end. Also, he knows of their tolerance of the first teaching from a first prophet, Jezebel. Jezebel, Balaam, and the Nicolaitans all try to lead God's people into idolatry and sexual immorality. God knows our work and our efforts and our missions and ministries, our caring people, everything from the beginning to the end. And also, he knows our challenges. We are still facing challenges of idol worship. Different kind of idol worship compared to the time. God knows everything. But God is still looking for faithful people. God's eyes have been fixed on his church, and he is speaking to his church for its repentance and renewal and to be put back on track to be faithful to him. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 5. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Our God is faithful God. He is very faithful to us, even at this time. I know that because God says so. That is why God is looking for faithful people. Revelation 2:23, let us read this scripture together. And all the churches will know that I'm the one who searches minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. God is looking into our hearts and minds. But let me ask you this question. What are the things he's looking for in our hearts, in our mind? What are you looking for? He's looking for our faithfulness. Our faithfulness to God, our faithfulness to his word, and our faithfulness to his kingdom. That is what God is looking for in our hearts and minds. What do you have in your minds, in your heart? Then why is our knowledge of Jesus so important? Why is our knowledge of God, of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, is so important? It invites us to meditate on Jesus and pray and worship him. Let me quote, you know, J.I. Packer from his book, Knowing God. If you haven't read that book, please read this book. You will find a lot of insightful things from this book. And he said, a little knowledge of God is worth more than a great deal of knowledge about him, yet encourages us to turn each truth that we learn about God onto matter for meditation before God and leading to prayer and praise to God. If we really have true knowledge of Jesus Christ, that small modicum knowledge we have about Jesus Christ will lead us to our prayer, to our worship, and to our meditation. Because we have that knowledge about Jesus Christ. I want to pray to him more. I want to worship him more. And also I want to meditate on him. Even that small knowledge of Jesus Christ will lead us to our worship, prayer, and meditation. Secondly, our knowledge of Jesus helps us to understand that we are the ones who need God's grace. If you have knowledge about Jesus Christ, then that knowledge will allow you to see who you really are. That always happens at the same time. Our knowledge about God, our knowledge of the Holy Spirit, our knowledge about Jesus Christ always allows us to see who really I am. Who we are? Who are we? We are the ones who need God's grace. Think about Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest the Christians there and to bring them back to Jerusalem. He thought, I'm doing this for the glory of God. How dare them, the Christians? I cannot tolerate them. But he met Jesus Christ. The reason Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. And he came to know that he was persecuting God. He was persecuting God. When he had an encounter with the risen Jesus Christ, he had another encounter with himself. I am persecuting God. Think about Jacob in Genesis 32. He wrestled with God at the river Jabbok as he prepared to meet his brother Esau. Jacob didn't let him go, so God touched the socket of Jacob's hip and it became wrenched. You remember that story, right? Jacob still didn't want to let him go until he blessed him. There God changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means the one who wrestles with God, the one who struggles with God. Name change in the Bible means a change of the person's identity, destiny, and mission. Jacob called the place Peniel, meaning the face of God. And he said, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." He experienced God's grace there. His saving grace, even though he met God face to face. And also there, he got the new identity, destiny, and mission from God. That was God's grace for him. From then on, he limped wherever he went. Do you remember that, right? But it's a reminder for him that, yes, I have God's grace. I was supposed to die, but I was saved. And I have a new vision, new mission, new identity in God. Let us think about the manna and quails the Israelites received in the wilderness. Do you remember how many years did they receive God's provision? For 40 years. In the wilderness, it's not easy for you to find food that can sustain you, which means you have to fully depend on God, fully depend on God for his provision in the life of a wilderness. Every single day for 40 years, they had been trained every single day to depend on God's grace. Your life cannot be sustained by your own power. It's because of me. They had been trained for that for 40 years. Why? They were slaves and idol worshippers in Egypt for 400 years. That is why we were taught by Jesus Christ to pray, "Give us today our daily bread. Lord, I need you. I need your provision. I need your grace. Every single day I depend on you. Lord, it's not me. It's all about you. I need your grace." That is why Jesus Christ taught us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." Last but not least, our true knowledge of Jesus Christ always leads us to commit ourselves to his grace and church. If we know who Jesus Christ is, if we have that knowledge, then that always leads us to Jesus Christ's grace and also to the ministries we have at the church for God's glory. Apostle Paul's understanding of the church can be found in his frequently used phrase, en Christos, in Christ, en Christos, in Christ. What is the meaning of in Christ? It means we are in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are in the presence of God. We are in the grace of Jesus Christ. And also, we are in the body of Jesus Christ together. That means en Christos, in Christ. We are in the presence of God. We are in the grace of God. We are in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are in the body of Jesus Christ and Christos. Apostle Paul never forgets about that. Even though he was in trials, suffering, and persecution, he never forgets about his being in Christ. So, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. And in the same chapter, he says this, and my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Even though he had to stand before the court in Rome, no one was there to support him. He said, I'm okay. I don't want to blame my friends who are supposed to be there with me. But Christ was with me. And Christos. Christ was with me. And I prayed, God will use this time as a way to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles in the Gentile court. He never forget about his mission. And he never forget about God's presence, the grace of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And also he remembered he belonged to the body of Jesus Christ all the time. Please, we are in Christ. Amen? In whatsoever, we are in Christ. We are in God's presence. We are in the grace of Jesus Christ. And also we are in the power of the Holy Spirit. And also we together are the church of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me close my sermon. God is faithful. And he will continually show his faithfulness to us. I know that. And God is looking for faithful people. God is looking into your minds and hearts. And he is looking for our faithfulness to him. And then he has prepared special reward for those who are faithful. Let us read together the last verses in Revelation. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations to rule them with an iron scepter as their clay pots are shattered. God promised to us to give us the morning star which means Jesus Christ reign, which means the kingdom of God. Our life is moving toward God's kingdom. At the same time, God's kingdom is here to the people who are faithful to God. Amen? Amen. So I'm so glad we are in Christ together. And we are called together to do this wonderful kingdom work together. Amen? Amen. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for your faithfulness to all of us. God, help us to be faithful to you and help us to follow your directions as you are looking for faithful people. God, help us to renew our minds and help us to be filled with our faithfulness to you, Lord. By doing so, help us to continually participate in your kingdom work with our church members together. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I invite you to stand for our last song today. They'll know we are Christians by our love. A good campfire song, but I can guarantee you it's not going to sound like the campfire song that you know.
Good morning. On behalf of the Strategic Leadership Council, I'd like to announce that Reverend Yum has been appointed to serve the Carleton United Methodist Church effective July 1st, 2024. Reverend Yum has accepted this appointment made by Bishop David Bard in consultation with the Cabinet of the Michigan area. In due time, we will learn who our next pastoral leader will be. Pastor Yum has devoted many years of faithful service to our church, and has blessed our congregation with his many spiritual gifts and talents. We will have an opportunity to honor and celebrate the ministry of Pastor Yum and to thank him and Somi and their family for their service to our congregation at a reception in June. Please hold their family in your prayers during this time of transition as they prepare to share their gifts with another congregation. May we all trust in God's amazing grace and in the love of Christ and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit as we move forward into the future. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can be transformed continually to reflect God's goodness and mercy to you. Now go in peace. Amen.